ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we're reading four shlokas, and then this is the fourth. So I'll read the first three. Right? Four, three, two, one. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully and who has taken the form of Mohini. Why have the... What's wrong with this purport? Huh? So I'm wrong. Okay, sorry. Just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. O King, wheresoever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality of Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. You see how special he was. You cannot do that, isn't it? So we shouldn't think that any of this is mundane. It's for our elucidation of our material condition. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that those who seek gold and silver can worship Lord Shiva for material opulence. Lord Shiva lives under a bail tree and does not even construct a house in which to dwell. But although he is apparently poverty-stricken, his devotees are sometimes opulently endowed with large quantities of silver and gold. Parikit Maharaj later asks about this, and Sukadev Goswami replies, "So why can't I speak from this purport? I'll go on, but I don't, all right. Sarit Sarashu. Following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forests, near the gardens, and wherever there lived great sages. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Mohini Murti dragged Lord Shiva to so many places, especially to where the great sages lived, to instruct the sages that their Lord Shiva had become mad for a beautiful woman. Thus, although they were all great sages and saintly persons, they should not think themselves free, but should remain extremely cautious about beautiful women. No one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman. The Shastras enjoin, Matras Pasra Duhitraba Navi Vitakshanobhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvangsha Apikarshati. One should not stay in a solitary place with a woman, even if she be his mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so uncontrollably powerful that in the presence of a woman, one may become agitated even if he is very learned and advanced. Now, you may think that this is extreme, but this incestuous relationships between fathers and daughters and even fathers and mothers is not that uncommon in this day and age. In the Kali Yuga, these kind of things are becoming more and more common and condoned. And it's all because you foolishly are following the American culture, where everything is aimed at sense gratification. I'm all right, you're all right. Anything you do is good, or it's all good. It's all good. It's all okay. That is the philosophy. I'm okay, you're okay. And we are all equal. This is all foolishness. We are not all equal. As I've told you before, I'm better looking than any of you. Handsome. But I am not as beautiful as Lord Krishna. I'm stronger than anyone here, but I'm not as strong as Lord Krishna. You can speak Sanskrit and Hindi and Marathi, and I can't speak any of that. So we're not all equal. I have a body constructed for unlimited sense gratification, practically. That's why I was born in America, I guess. Karmic birth. You have taken birth. I was just listening to a tape this morning. Prabhupada is emphasizing that shloka. He enjoins all of my Indian brothers. You have been asked by Lord Chaitanya to take part in the Krishna consciousness movement and spread it all over the world. He specifically says Bharata Bhumi. Those born in Bharat Desh have been asked to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Practically speaking, the only one who took, I think I said this yesterday or maybe at the farm, that Prabhupada's godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj, he told us that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to quote that verse, he said, we all thought it was like a nice idea, but we never thought that it was real. He said, only your Guru Maharaj considered it real. And he did what Lord Chaitanya asked, and went to the West and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Practically speaking, there's nowhere where Prabhupada didn't go. He went to South America, he went to North America, he went to Russia, he went to Hong Kong, which is China, he went to India, he went everywhere. He went to Australia, he went to every continent, he went to Europe, he went to England. No one can claim that position. We are not all equal. No one can claim the position of the world acharya. Only Prabhupada. Founder acharya of ISKCON. And what is ISKCON? It's a world organization. Like now in Mayapur, we have devotees from all over the world. And they don't all speak English. Most of them, it's very hard to find someone these days in Mayapur during the Gaur Purnima festival who speaks English. Most of them speak what? Russian. I never would have thought in all my imaginings that the Krishna consciousness movement would take such a firm hold in Russia. Because when I was brought up as a boy, Russia was considered, we were taught, Russia is the enemy. We were taught like that. Russia is the enemy. And I was asking, I was telling this to some devotees when I was in Russia recently, and they said, yes, we were brought up to regard the United States as the enemy. And each of us thought the other was going to drop a bomb on our head. Even when I was a child in grade school in 47, 48, 49, like that, 1940, they used to have air raid drill. Wait till you hear this foolishness. So that if the Russians attacked, come in. You have to go play your violin. If the Russia, my Kazakhstani friend, if the Russians attacked and dropped a bomb on our head, we were taught, go under our desk. This would protect us from the atomic bomb. Foolishness. All the mundaners are foolish. And the height of their foolishness is they are bewildered by sex desire. All of us are susceptible to the agitation of the senses. All of us. I've been. I was a sannyasi. I became agitated. I fell down. What to speak of you? So you have to always be careful. Always be careful of beautiful women. Because it's always there. A beautiful woman is not the problem. The problem is that we think that the purpose of life is to enjoy our senses. That is the modern philosophy. These great sages in their ashrams, they didn't think that. But today in the Kali Yuga, due to the influence of Western culture, everyone is thinking the purpose of life is to enjoy like anything. Of course, you had that, what was his name? Eat ghee? Charvaka Muni, is it? Eat ghee. Even if you have to steal it, eat ghee and enjoy life. So that philosophy is all over the world now. Coca-Cola philosophy, I call it. The real life they advertise. I love it, they advertise. Coca-Cola. Everywhere you go, there's Coca-Cola. Now, this is American philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because, and they're so foolish. I mean, it's actually mind-boggling. This, they think everyone goes to heaven. Oh, my father's in a better place. My mother's in a better place. Oh, like you read in the paper in Australia. Very common. Some lunatic goes up in a plane and they jump out of a plane with a parachute. This is their pleasure. Insanity. They jump out of a plane at so many thousands of feet high with a parachute. And then the parachute doesn't open. And they pulverized into the ground. And what do the mother and father say? Oh, he died doing what he loved. They just gloss over everything. Oh, he's in a better place now. How do you know where that person is? How do you know? Foolish It's a foolish distortion and dilution of Christian philosophy. There's no hell anymore. There's no sin anymore. You can do anything and everything. It's all good. Isn't that right? Isn't that a common saying? Oh, it's all good. In Australia, we say, it's all good, mate. Good on you, mate. It's not all good. It's all bad. And you haven't gone to a better place. You've gone down to the hellish regions. But because they cannot cope with that idea, they just gloss it over. And they're taught sense gratification from early age. Who was it? I was talking to a close friend of mine, Indian boy, who lives in Australia. He's a devotee. And he's always attracted to kind of like the Western lifestyle. And we were walking in the park one day, and I said, you can never be like that. I said, these people have been trained in sense gratification right from within the womb. They have. Their bodies are constructed within the womb from meat and fish, and their mothers drink, and they... So right from within the womb, their bodies are formed and molded by the modes of nature for sense gratification. You can never be like that. I said, you took an elevated birth. So stop frustrating yourself. Just take to Krishna consciousness more fully and preach Krishna consciousness. Because you, as Indians, can never enjoy like the Westerners. So just don't even try. Rather, thwart them in their desire for sense gratification by preaching Krishna consciousness, because they'll take to it. Because they know somewhere in the core of their being, they know that there's something wrong. Else why are they always intoxicated? Why are they always drinking whiskey and wine and coming over on the plane from Sydney to Bangkok? So the young man sitting next to me, he was from Sweden. And we were talking, and he was, you know, just general conversation. Young man, about 30. I made a list in my head. He had four glasses of red wine. No, first he had two glasses of champagne. Then he had four glasses of red wine. Then he had two glasses of white wine with his meal. Then he had cognac, a brandy, after, with a coffee. A huge amount of spirits he consumed. These are Europeans and Americans. But they know, in the core, there's something wrong. It's not all good. And they're looking for some answers. And it is your duty. I mean, we've taken it up, my God brothers and I, to certain extents, to a certain degree. Most of my God brothers to a further degree than me, certainly. But we've taken it up on the order of Prabhupada. But you are also under that order of Prabhupada and of Lord Chaitanya. Bharata Bhumite Kona. What is that? What is that? Yeah, anyone born. What is it? Yeah. I can never remember it. Yeah, what a feeble brain I have. And yet I have the audacity to criticize and to sit here and think I can speak on the Bhagavatam. I can't remember anything from one moment to the next. And you all, oh, Bhagavatam, you, if you only knew how feeble, feeble-minded I am. But I do know this, you must be cautious. Don't ever be arrogant thinking, yes, now I'm liberated, I can dance with the women. This is sahajya. This is sahajya. In Vrindavan, and of course it comes from Bengal, a distortion of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. Among those who think Krishna consciousness is cheap, and then they dress up as gopis and they dress up as Krishna and they all dance around and they all have sex. That happens. Right in your country, in your most sacred dham, or our most sacred dham, Vrindavan, they're doing that. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas were the terrorized those people. When we're preaching vociferously and strongly, then all of that misunderstanding and distortion of Krishna conscious philosophy becomes minimized practically to out of existence. But in order to come to that platform to have potency, you have to avoid, if possible, the association of women, even your mother and your daughter. It's not unusual, as I said, in America, for a man to be arrested for sexual connection with his daughter, even little girls. Men will sometimes, the father will sometimes molest her. It's not uncommon, very common. So don't think these things are just fantasy. And this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. You should not even look upon a wooden doll figure of a woman. That's what Lord Chaitanya said. Now, some people may say, even within the movement, that's fanatic. Don't be a fanatic. Don't be a fanatic. Have you heard that? That's just a metaphor, or it's just. But don't be a fanatic. Better safe than sorry. Isn't it? You know that saying. Better to be safe. Be a little bit fanatic when it comes to this particular thing, association with a woman. Better to be a little bit fanatical than to be regretful later. Of course, Krishna will forgive his devotees in their pursuit on this path of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes you lose sight of the goal. A great tennis player, all great tennis players have one quality in common. Do you know what that is? It's not their serve. It's not their backhand. It's not their powerful forehand. It's their ability to never take their eye off the ball. They always know where the ball is. When it's coming at them, they're swinging around their racket, they're not looking at their racket, they're looking at the ball. They never take their eye off the ball. Those are great tennis players, have that quality in common. And as devotees, we also never take our eye off the goal. What is the goal? Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet. Because, when we pass semen, ain't no gold mines come. It doesn't happen. Unless I'm mistaken. Maybe someone here is a Lord Shiva in disguise. That I don't know. So Brahmachari, this is a nice Brahmachari ashram. Probably one of the best Brahmachari ashrams in the world. And you have all a nice program. you have a good leadership, good instruction. So many devotees, senior devotees come through. They make it objective, oh, I must go to Chaupati. So everyone is here to help you keep your eye on the goal. Also, tightrope walkers. Are you going to sleep on me? Do you know what you look like when your eyes roll up in that, in your head? And all I can see is the white of your eyes. It's spooky. If you're feeling drowsy, stand up. It's all right. You can stand up. I won't object. I also fall asleep sometimes. Well, not like one of my godbrothers, whose class he found so boring, the class he was giving, he fell asleep during his own class. He did. I won't mention his name. It was in New York Temple, 55th Street. I was sitting with Achyutananda. I said, are you seeing this? We're all waiting for the next sentence, and nothing came out. No. He was leaning up against the sound asleep. I hope my class is not that boring. I hope. I try to keep it interesting. But, as you know. Anyway, there is no harm in being strict. And anyone who says being strict is fanatic or is old-fashioned, there's also that mood. Sometimes people talk, devotees talk about the old-fashioned ISKCON. Then there's, which implies that there's some new and modern ISKCON, which is better. Well, that I don't know. All I know is that here in Chaupati is very much like the old-fashioned ISKCON that I knew when Prabhupada was here. So if when Prabhupada was here, ISKCON was like this, that's all I want. I don't want any newfangled, modern, liberal ISKCON. Of course, we're liberal to the conditioned souls. That's the meaning of Brahma Bhuta. Broad-minded, Prabhupada said. That's the preacher. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Brahma Bhuta means broad-minded in your preaching. But with ourselves, no, we should be very narrow. Narrow, not in our vision. We should be narrow in our vision. We keep our eye on the goal. And how do we do that? Satatam kirtiyanto mang. Krishna says, always chanting my glories. Yatantascha dridha brata. With great determination. It's not easy. You have to practice again and again. And again, the example of great sportsmen. They practice and practice and practice and practice. And we chant and we chant and we chant and we chant. And as we chant, our faith grows stronger. Dridha brata, with great determination. And we get realization. And that enhances our determination. And our determination enhances our chanting. And it goes around and around like that. And we become stronger and stronger. And we don't go chasing around after women. If you want a woman, a marriage can be arranged. That's all right. That's equal. If you can be a grihasta, then you're equal to a brahmachari, you're equal to a sannyasi. However, it's a little dangerous. You always have to be careful that we don't jump and become sahajiya. Like I saw, I don't know who painted it, but I saw a a photograph at Mayapur, because everyone's, you know, Mayapur during the festival, it becomes a marketplace. Everyone's selling something, books or jewelry or beads. Everyone's got a table, everyone's hawking their wares. So one devotee had a table and they had different photographs of different paintings. And I saw one painting of Radharani, I suppose it was, or maybe one of Krishna's wives in Dwarka. She had her hair loose and Krishna was combing her hair and she was looking in a mirror at Krishna's reflection. Now this is where people say, oh, Bhavananda, he's just so, you know, fanatic. I can't look at such a picture. Such an intimate picture. Do you know what I'm saying? That Krishna's pastime with his wives or with the gopis is his pastime. We are not qualified to see such things. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, the brahmachari should not read certain chapters of the Krishna book, the Ras Lila and Autumn in Vrindavan, those chapters there, three chapters. Brahmachari shouldn't even read them. What to speak of looking at pictures of Krishna combing Radharani's hair loose and no jewelry, nothing. Very intimate. When Draupadi was married to the five Pandavas, what was the one rule they had? When each of them was alone with Draupadi, the others should not enter in. Married life is is intimate between the husband and the wife. No one else. Not even the brother should see. When we asked Prabhupada if we should put Gaur Nittai on the altar with Radha Krishna, he said, no, the brother never can see the brother's wife. So Lord Nityananda could not go there. There had to be a separation. But Krishna, Lord Chaitanya could go there. In Mayapur. Now, there's so many rules. Why? To keep us safe. And here we're talking, of course, the Supreme Lord, but a culture. It's a culture. We have a culture. And the sad thing is that India is giving up its culture to embrace American culture, Coca-Cola culture, Pepsi-Cola culture. Pizza culture. McDonald's culture. Oh, so they don't serve beef at McDonald's in India. They serve chicken. So? Does that make it better? I saw one boy come in today. He wanted to be American. Piercing here. They're so insane. That they go through so much pain just for fashion. It's called being a fashion victim. The young boys and girls will go to some man who will stick a needle through their tongue and put a silver ball there. And then what happens? They chip all their teeth while they're talking, bang, 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 bang. Or they put rings, chip, you know, or they tattoo themselves. That's very popular. Even the big Hollywood stars, they're painful. I can't imagine. The needle, very painful. They have tattoos put in all kinds of unmentionable places. It's an insane culture. Which you are adopting, not you. but your countrymen are adopting. Therefore, you have a very important mission to stop this Western culture from overtaking your precious spiritual country of India, Bharat Desh. That's your duty. That's why you're here. You're not here to enjoy. You're not here to, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. No, you're here to get trained up to put a stop to the bastardization. I can use that word. It's a proper word. It means the pollution of your Indian culture by the Western forces. That is one reason why the Americans are actually perplexed by the Muslims. They can't understand that there is a culture, whatever that culture may be, that doesn't want to be Americanized. The men like their women in a black bag. And the women like to wear a black bag. Americans can't conceive of that. Because in America, the intermingling of the sexes is common. Right from childhood, you associate with boys and girls associate together. They associate together in school. They have sex at 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And their culture, the rock stars, the MTV videos, is all sex, 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 sex. They're like hapless victims. They don't have a chance. Of course, you know all of this because here in Bombay is the most materialistic city in India. The most materialistic city. All your Bombaywalas and Bollywood. Don't be deluded into thinking that there's something nice there. It's not. It's not nice. It's grotesque. Better you see it as grotesque. If that's fanatic, fine. It's absolutely grotesque, and it is abhorrent. Detestable. You have to be that strict. At the same time, you have to be very open to helping the conditioned souls to fix themselves up by chanting Hare Krishna. So it's a kind of a fine balancing act. With yourself, you're strict. But with the conditioned souls, you're broad-minded. And you go out. That doesn't mean women can't become Krishna conscious or that they should be kept out of Krishna consciousness. No, you take that when you go out preaching. You're open to anyone who wants to take a book. Anyone, you don't just go to men, you go to women also. You go to college students, whether they're male or female. You're open to everyone. You take that risk and Krishna protects you because you're taking risk. But in your own personal lives, it's better to be a little bit strict fanatic. What this modern, this movement within ISKCON, old-fashioned, old ISKCON, no, modern ISKCON, which is more casual and go to movies and, sit around, eat pizza, drink Coca-Cola, that's okay. That there is that element. They're also devotees, I'm not, but better you with this great responsibility that you have. Better you become strict so that you become pure and then you get the inspiration to preach Krishna consciousness. The ability to accomplish something, I was talking to Radhanath Swami yesterday, and I said to him, I don't know what it is with you. I said, everything you touch blossoms. I said, even your farm is just wonderful. I said, it must be due to your purity. And of course he was, no. You know how the Vaishnavas get into, you're pure. They go back and forth. No, you're pure. I'm not pure. No, I'm not pure. You're pure. It's funny. But he was like that. But it has to be. It has to be. I was. How did he do it? I asked a few years ago. I asked a devotee. How does he do it? How does he get all these educated, nice young men from university, where you know, at university you're fired up to make a career, to become successful, and they're all becoming brahmacharis, much to, I'm sure, the dismay of their parents, because you know every ma wants a grandchild. Even in the West, when boys or girls would join. The parents, what was the one thing the parents couldn't deal with, the American parents? They could not deal with they couldn't cope with the idea of brahmachari or brahmacharini. What? You're not going to have sex? They couldn't deal with it. That's what drove them to abduct their children and have them deprogrammed. They were brainwashed. They don't have sex. My son doesn't want to have sex. My daughter doesn't want to have sex. And they couldn't. They would pay men, kidnap my daughter, kidnap my son, and put him in a room and brainwash and reprogram him to want to become a materialist. Therefore, when devotees started getting married, then the parents became a little more comfortable. And of course, when they had children, and then the parents had grandchildren, then everything was fine. But the idea of brahmachari life is, of abstaining from sex, is so alien to Western culture. They cannot conceive. It drives them insane that my son or daughter should give up illicit sex. Drugs, they don't mind. You give up drugs, that's good. Whiskey, all right. But sex? They can't conceive of it. This is what you have to do battle with. And this is spreading all over the world. All over the world. So we'll be fanatic. We're better off. Are there any questions? No? Did any of you hear what I said? You guys. We always have a laugh, don't we? I heard the brahmachari class day before yesterday, Gauranga was giving. I said, what is this, a comedy hour? Because I'm in my room. And every 5 minutes, all the brahmacharis were bursting out into laughter. I said, what does he do? Just tell jokes. It's good to laugh. Prabhupada says the devotee looks at this material world, and what does he do? He laughs at the absurdity of it, the complete absurdity of material existence. It's absurd what people put themselves through to no avail. They'll work hard like jackasses, only to die. Any questions? Your last chance. I'm not giving a brahmachari class because I'm not qualified to speak to brahmacharis. But so this is your last chance. What?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhuji, question is that while working in various jobs in this city of Mumbai, there are mixed, like gents are also there, ladies are also there. And when a person, when a young devotee, male devotee, is working in that situation, he tries his best to avoid the female association of dealing with them. But it is looked with a bad eye upon by other staff of the office that why are you not speaking, why are not talking, why are not eating with us, and why do you not mix with us? And so much so that even
hold on. What? You can speak. Just
someone who is working in the office.
Yeah. They think you're weird, yes.
And so much so that even devotees, they think that sometimes it's okay to talk with them, but don't be fanatic, don't be too much on this side of avoiding the ladies' association. For the sake of dealing, you can do something. So even
Hold on.
Sometimes even devotees have the same opinion.
That's what I'm saying, yes. You shouldn't be fanatic. Bhaktivinod Thakur answered your question. He was asked, how do we deal with the non-devotee class of men? And he said, you deal with him, with them, like you deal with the, when you go to the market to buy your vegetables, you deal with them like the vegetable seller. You're cordial, you do your business, and you go. You don't make deep friendship with the supermarket employee. But you're nice to them, but you do your business and then you go and then you come and join the devotees in the temple in the evening and do your thing. Don't worry. There's always, listen, someone will always complain no matter what you do. You cannot be all things to all people. So you have to be fixed, even though your co-workers are saying, oh, you're too fanatic, you're such a fanatic. Even though some devotees here may say, you're too fanatic, you shouldn't be so fanatic. That's been the whole basis of this class. There's always someone complaining. I designed what I thought and Ambarish thought was a beautiful temple. The Mayapur Temple of Vedic Planetary. I thought it was beautiful. Yeah. Ambarish thought it was beautiful. Sadbhuj thought it was beautiful. Still people complained. Oh, it's not Indian, it's not this, it's not that. Prabhupada told us, build the long building. You know the long building at Mayapur. It went right down along the border of our land at that time, from the front to the back. I'm sitting in the park with Achyutananda Swami. One Bengali man comes. We just finished the building. He comes up to us and he says, don't mind. That building is too long. Okay. It's either too short or it's too long or it's too low or it's too high. There's always, someone will always find something to complain about. But you have to be fixed No, this is, I am acting according to the Bhaktivedanta purports, and I will stick with that. Because 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, let us see who is still a devotee. That's when it, at the finish line, who's still chanting Hare Krishna? That's what matters. So you can't please everyone, even devotees. Always someone will find something to complain. Oh, you're cutting the trees. You're cutting the trees. You're killing the devotees. You're an assassin. You're a murderer. What I had to go through in order to prepare the ground to build Prabhupada's request to me to build the world headquarters, we had to cut some trees. You would have thought I was a murderer. I was called a murderer. How could Lord Chaitanya be happy with this building if you're killing his devotees in order to build it? I can understand their sentiment, but it is only that. It is only sentiment. It's a sentimental thing. We do not kill trees or chop trees unnecessarily, but in the service of the Lord, sometimes you have to chop a tree. How many trees have been chopped to furnish the paper to print the Bhagavatam? Paper's made from trees. You cannot please everyone. You just have to keep pushing. You're up against the whole material nature's powerful force. You have to just be drida bratam, determined. You just keep pushing, just keep pushing, just keep pushing. How many attacks, people nipping at your dogs, nipping at your feet, at your heels, people whispering in your ears. You just keep pushing forward. And you'll be successful. Then when you're with Krishna in the spiritual sky, then who's laughing? Right? Who's right, who's wrong? That will be determined at the moment of death. I'm almost completely convinced. Even I have my doubt, you know. Was Lord Chaitanya really God only 500 years ago? He was here. I often think like that. Just 500 years ago, God himself was here. It's not very long ago. It's like yesterday. It's hard to fathom. I can accept 5,000 years ago, God was here. But 500 years ago, when all Western, you know, see, 5,000 years ago, there was no Western world, so to speak. Not as we know it today. But 500 years ago, you had the Renaissance, you had, you know, European culture, Western culture, you had great cathedrals, and so hard to believe that in a village in Bengal, which was considered, you know, India was considered far away, and that God was here. But you have to keep pushing. We have our doubts. Even when you have your doubts, keep pushing. The goal is Krishna's lotus feet. And what do you care what your co-workers say? They're fools, quite honestly. Aren't they? They're fools. They think that to work hard all day and eat and go to sleep and have a little sex, that's perfection. Or listen to some rock music. Or go to see My Name is Khan. Oh, you're all laughing. How do you know? Huh? Mr. Brahmachari saffron cloth. How do you know? right? They're the fools. They're the fools. Prabhupada's godbrothers, they said it couldn't be done. And it's just a nice sentiment, that shloka, that prayer. It's a nice sentiment, that's what he said. We thought it was a nice sentiment. We never thought it was real. Even Prabhupada's own godbrothers. And when Prabhupada went to the West, his godbrothers, no one would help him. He asked for, can you send a mridanga? No. Can you send some kartals? No. No, they wouldn't help. When he went back to India and he went to Mayapur, he asked Tirtha Maharaj, can some of my students stay here at the Chaitanya Math during the festival? No. No one would help him, even his own godbrothers. Right? They wouldn't help. So what did Prabhupada do? He built Mayapur. He said he bought land and built Mayapur. For what reason? So that his foreign disciples, students, could stay comfortably at Mayapur and worship Lord Chaitanya. But he got no help from anyone, including his own Gaudiya Vaishnav godbrothers. No one helped him. Rather, some of them tried to stop him. When he was negotiating, when we were negotiating to buy that first 11 bigas of land at Mayapur, the Gaudiya Math sannyasis were trying to influence the Mohammedan who sold us the land not to sell to Swami Maharaj. They didn't want Prabhupada to even have land in Mayapur. And he had to deal with that. Prabhupada had to deal with that. My own godbrothers are trying to stop me from preaching. What to speak of some fools in a bank or in an office? What do you care? You know what the truth is. What do you care what they think? They're fools and idiots and knaves and assassins. We're surrounded by them. I had a friend who said, I'm surrounded by fools, idiots, knaves, and assassins. That's all this material world. We're surrounded by idiots. Even Shakespeare said that. It is a tale told by an idiot, this world. He said that. Full of sound and fury, signifying what? Nothing. That's what he said. Even Shakespeare. Prabhupada used to quote Shakespeare, so I can quote Shakespeare. It is a tale told by an idiot. And you care what an idiot? If you go into an insane asylum, people say so many crazy things. This world is an insane asylum. Everyone thinks that they're their body. They're believing that there's something that they're not. They're spirit soul, but they're believing I'm an Indian, I'm a bank clerk, I'm a computer programmer, I'm an American, I'm a man, I'm a woman. It's all insanity. What do you care? You know, Jivera Swarubhoi Nitya Krishna Dasa, for the first truth of Krishna consciousness. The first sane thing we ever heard in our lives. Isn't it? The first truth. So we're fixed on that truth, and we do not care for the rantings and ravings of the asylum inmates. They're all in Maya. They're all in Maya. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? All right. I hope it does. Hare Krishna, what to do when you sometimes get agitated? Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, sit right down and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. People may think you're crazy, but you'll be safe. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the answer to everything. Everything. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? There is nothing but the name to be had in all three worlds. There's nothing but Hare Krishna. It is the answer to all problems. Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he's made it so easy for us. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna. The answer to every question, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. When Prabhupada was getting letters from different temple presidents complaining about this, complaining about that, he said, they are not chanting Hare Krishna, else how there can be so many problems. Janani Vas in Mayapur, there's no problems. He has no problems. It's a wonder to me all the time. It's always a wonder to me. He just goes along in, I call it Jananibas land. Like Krishna takes care of everything. That's his philosophy. I'll just do my service quietly. I heard Prabhupada give a definition of silent, of Vaishnava quality, silent. He said, yes, silent means you do your service quietly without any recognition, doesn't matter. I thought to myself, oh my God, I fall far short from that. I'm always bragging, boasting about my service, you know, yelling about my... Jananibas, he quietly goes about his business, lets Krishna take care of everything. Why? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. The answer to everything. That's the end of our class. Hare Krishna.